welcome to the AFR podcast. It is April Fool's Day, the 1st of April, 2024.
There will be blood.
Steve, we've been smacked with byes. The byes are over for at least this week, but what do you know? We've finished one round, we take a breath, and then we go straight into another one because the AFL has decided that no one gets a bye because we're all flying to Adelaide.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Hey, I'm so happy to not have any byes to deal with. It's just gorgeous. And you know, also just to have enough football in the kind of, you know, enough stats now, enough data to actually make some intelligent decisions. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, a little quirk of the system, because it's obviously the third round is now being played, but it's really four rounds because of the opening round. The little graph now appears on everyone's page of saying, hey, over the last 4 weeks, this is what your players have scored. But really, some of them have only played three games or two games.
Mm-hmm.
So just a little – that's not average over four games, obviously, if you're looking at it going, wow, I'm doing so well, or wow, I'm doing so badly, this player, because it's obviously not a full indicative four games of playing. But anyway, yes, it's some unfortunately, from my perspective, I do have a full snapshot of how my team is looking. I know the results don't necessarily show that, but when I look at it, I'm like, oh my goodness, I have some holes, which I'm sure we will touch on as we go through it. But we have to have a little bit of not a minute of silence, but certainly a little bit of a bit of downtime to already where we've noticed, was it round three and someone's out for 10 to 12 weeks, being Tom J. Lynch going in for surgery, which is really going to hurt a couple of teams, obviously.
It's definitely, it's not what you want to hear. Well, particularly because, I mean, the Blue Flames, yep, they've had their glory a couple of years ago with the Tom J. Lynch in the driver's seat. So at least I'm pretty sure Tom J. Lynch has got his name on the trophy, on the original league trophy anyway. But, yeah, he's a player that you would think would be spearheading the Phantoms, given their current success. And, I guess he might still be back for finals for them. But, not ideal. And I know last year I think we thought the same thing. And they ended up, and it wouldn't surprise me in 12 weeks' time if Richmond look at their record and go, is it worth dragging Lynch back for the last few rounds of the year? Yeah, probably not. Cotton wool next year, which wouldn't surprise me at all if that's what they do, which is not what Thomas probably wants to think about right now. But, yeah.
Well, I think he'd be, as a Richmond supporter, he may even be like, maybe you might be a little bit torn, but yeah, Uze might be. Let's just play the kids and see how they go. But talk about, he can't buy a trick, can he, Lynch?
No.
His body's, you look at Tom Hawkins playing, 250 games or whatever it was? 350 games. As I was saying that, I'm like, is it 350? No, that's too much. He hasn't really – I think he had some back issues 1 year, but he really hasn't had the injuries that someone like Lynch has had, which is quite crazy. Anyway, different body types and obviously different ways of playing. But anyway, all right, let's jump into it, Steve. We'll start with the original league. First off, round three, first game, if it was the AFL, it'd probably be a Tuesday night game, because why not have a game every damn night? It was the Mighty Bucks up against the Surrey Scorpions. I think we both thought this one was going to be fairly ugly. It was in the end. The Bucks were way too strong, 195 to the Surrey Scorpions, 121. The Mighty Bucks were simply unstoppable. The only one down, I suppose, was probably Malira getting 7.5 at back. But when you've got James Rowbottom getting 26 at Tagger, you've got Luke Ryan getting 26.5 at Keyback, you've got Max Gawn getting 25 at Ruck. And they're just the rest would all make standouts in everybody else's team. But in this particular game, they're not even going to get a mention. For the Surrey Scorpions, Bontempelli obviously was down, only getting the 16 at centre. His back line was down a little bit too. McGrath has been getting a lot more than the 7.5. Harris Andrews was obviously down 8.5 at Keyback as well. But really, the Scorpions didn't really have much of a fight in this particular game. In terms of the commissioner votes, Steve, I've already done them. I gave 3 to Rowbottom, 2 to Ryan, and 1 to Zach Butters.
Yeah, it's pretty rough when you get beaten literally in every single line of the lineup, which is what the Scorpions experienced this week. I guess they could call Chad Warner versus Wanganeen Malera a tie, and McGrath Malera a tie, but I mean Malera did his knee and is out for the year, so I mean that's about the only bad thing to come out of this Bucks game. They just obliterate. Like, the Scorpions would have been feeling good after last week's win. And it was an impressive win in the end that gave us a bit of hope. And, all that hope is now gone. But, I mean, the Bucks are on an absolute tear at the moment. They are scary, and I don't know if they can keep it up, but, wow. Rowbottom, I think, as I mentioned to earlier today, must be I don't know if he's got, like, 3 best on grounds so far in 3 weeks, but, man, he's just been ridiculous.
Yeah. From a Bucks perspective, would you trust Nick Larkey? I know you had him, but the way North Melbourne is, would you trust having Larkey as your key forward?
What can you say? North's playing pretty crap, and Larkey just, I mean, he reminds me of a young Jack Riewoldt. Remember when Richmond were absolutely terrible, and yet like Riewoldt was like winning the Coleman because like they didn't have anybody else? That's pretty much North Melbourne. They don't have anybody else, so they just keep kicking it to Larkey, and I guess, you know, like, he gets his couple of goals probably in the third and fourth quarter when the other team is like really, really bored because they're winning by 10 goals. So,
I suppose from our perspective, we don't care about that, do we? As long as he gets his 3 goals. Yeah.
So the old Tom Hawkins garbage time, you know, scores still count. So, yep. It's all good. It's worked for the Bucks. I don't know. I wasn't necessarily impressed with Larkey. I think long term, he'll probably eventually fade once North Melbourne work out. They probably need more than one option in attack, but ride it, you know, ride it while you got it. So,
exactly. Interesting that obviously Luke Ryan and Max Gawn both made the team of the week in this one, both putting up a combined over 50 points. That's just insane from two players. The next game, we had the Wild Cards up against the Blue Flames. As we were talking about before with Tom Jay, the Blue Flames might have a little bit of a hole to fill, but they didn't feel a need to play him this week. 151 against the Wild Cards, 110.5. Blue Flames, obviously, way too strong. Lachie Neal getting 35 at centre. Jeremy Cameron getting 20 at key forward. Cripper getting 19 at Rover was outstanding. For the Wild Cards, obviously Ned Reeves didn't play, so him getting a 0 certainly didn't help the cause, but nothing that they had really would have got them over the line here. Obviously, Tom Atkins getting 16 at Tagger was pretty good, and Zach Merrick getting 30 at centre was respectable. In terms of the commissioner vote, Steve, I go 3 to Lachie Neal, 2 to Cripps, and 1 to Tom Atkins.
Yeah, Blue Flames finally salute, and man, I don't know, everything went wrong for the Wild Cards this week. I think I was thinking about Damo, and I was just thinking, man, you're just gonna wipe this one from the memory. You're not gonna learn much out of this loss. It was just a disaster of buys and injuries and droppings and yuck. Probably Damo's not happy that it came against Ben, but I think they'll move on very quickly from this Wild Cards, burn the tape, and hope that the form returns next week. The Blue Flames, though, yeah, like, it's kind of cool for them, I guess, that they have that much faith in Cameron and McDonald that they're playing them ahead of Lynch. And obviously Cameron's pretty amazing. And Logan McDonald certainly didn't quite match Lynch's 3-1, but man, pretty darn close. So the Blue Flames will be feeling okay. I'm not entirely convinced the Blue Flames are, ready to, jump straight back into finals, but they're looking all right. The back line's a little questionable, and the midfield is not also maybe that great. But hey, great win over the Wild Cards, and they're now back in the game.
Do you think the Wild Cards are struggling from a midfield perspective? If you're naming Mitch McGovern in the midfield, I think on the weekend, and I'm just looking at this now, he had 8 rebounds and 5 marks.
Yeah, it was a tough one. Because I think Mitch McGovern's actually a pretty good mid most weeks because, as you're sort of hinting at, he's a back. Unfortunately, Carlton were playing North Melbourne this week, which just meant that, I guess, he made every kick count with those rebounds. But, yeah, I think in a normal week where there's a bit more of an opponent that's going to actually, get into their forward line more often, maybe Mitch McGovern would get a few more kicks and look more respectable. But I actually think long term, he had been looking like a great back late last year. I know this because the Phoenixes have him in the other league, and I think he'd started the year a little bit cold this year. I don't know whether that was something to do with like Zach Williams or Doherty or like Carlton switching their system around, but he seems to have landed back in the back line this week, and so the Wild Cards might be flipping him to the back because I don't think Bailey Dale's. He's not quite delivering in the way that probably... It seems like JJ, your old mate JJ, is kicking some butt for the Bulldogs with the rebounds. Have you noticed that?
Oh, is he? No, I haven't looked at Johansson. I thought he was struggling to get a game with him at one point in time. Speaking of rebounds, I'm sure you looked at it. You saw how Darcy Moore went on the weekend, yeah?
Yeah.
5 rebounds, but he only had 4 kicks. Two of them were handballs, but I thought that doesn't happen very often where you see someone get 5 rebounds but only 4 kicks.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. I look forward to him getting a few more kicks and maybe actually getting some rebounds with them as well. So,
Wow. Sorry. Yeah, Jason Johannesson, 18 kicks, 9 rebounds on the weekend, 10 marks.
Johannesson seems to have returned to his primo rebounding years. So maybe that's how he's decided to get a game. Maybe they tried to move him up the ground. Didn't work. He got dropped. Back to the back line.
Probably giving some clues for the mid-season draft. But round one, he had 19 kicks and 3 rebounds. Round two, he had 20 kicks and 6 rebounds. This week, he had 18 kicks and 9 rebounds. And someone will be listening to this going, shut up. He was my smoky.
Yeah, no one will notice
When he's sitting on the top of every single free agency thing. Stop it, he was my smoky. Anyway. Next game is yourself, Steve. The Heroes up against the Dingoes. Heroes were just way too strong here. With their forward line, obviously, was what really took the game away from you. 182 to 146.5. You would have beaten quite a few teams this week, but obviously not against the Heroes. McKay getting 41 at key forward and Charlie Curnow getting 25 at forward. As I said, that was really the difference when it came down to the scores in the end. Caleb Sarong had a quiet game this week, only the lazy 28. Zach Williams moved into the midfield, only got the 9. But Nick Blakey getting 16 and Tom DeConing getting 15.5 was also pretty good. But for yourself, Steve, as I said, it was really the forward line. Every other position, you really beat him. Nick Martin was obviously outstanding. He got 31 kicks. Adam Treloar getting 17 at Rover was also pretty good. But as I said, the Heroes were just too strong in that forward line. In terms of the commissioner vote, Steve, I gave 3 to Nick Martin, 2 to McKay, and 1 to Curnow.
Yeah, it's really rough when you come up against a team is a good team, and then you realise they're all Carlton forward lines up against North Melbourne, and you pretty much know 7 days out. Yep, I'm going to lose. And it's hard because, as you mentioned, take out that forward line and I'm probably a good 10, 20 points clear of the Hodges. But out in the forward line, and I'm, yep, a good 30 points behind. So I don't know if there's much more to say. I think my team's not that bad, but man, I'm just not catching a trick at the moment.
No, you're not. Colby was on my list. He's doing really well for you.
Oh yeah,
he was on my preseason list, but you took him at the round. That's the pick before I was going to do him. He was a good pickup.
Yeah, I honestly had three picks in the first round that I wanted to do. I wanted to do Nick Martin, Ryan Burton, and Colby McKercher. They were all on my list as my almost top players, and I took Nick Martin. And then Ryan Burton was still there in the second round, and I was sitting there going, I'm going to kick myself if I don't take him. I feel like he's going to be good. And I was like, I really wanted McKercher, though. And then McKercher was still there in the third round. So I was like, man, this is my week. And they're all in the lineup this week, and they're all doing, well. But I don't know. The sad thing is McKercher's not going to get a look in probably much the rest of the season with obviously got Noah Anderson coming back. And probably Dacos, the two Knicks, Dacos and Martin, probably not going to give him much of a look in. So sad, but McKercher's probably going to be riding the pine, sadly.
Would Martin not potentially move to back for you?
Yeah, I guess, but even then, I feel like Ryan Burton has a better average than McKercher. So I've been basically thinking Martin and Burton, depending on the matchup, I'll flip them between midfield and back because they're both getting rebounds and kicks, and man, I mean, I think it worked out better for me having Martin in the midfield this week, but I don't know. it's probably a good problem, most of the time, but it doesn't really help much if you don't have any forwards kicking goals, though. That's the bottom line. I'll be glad to get Ben King back this week, but I hope he actually kicks some. I was going to say before, I'm like, given how much McKay and Kerno had to score for the Heroes, I wasn't actually that impressed with their score. Like, most of the rest of the team was kind of average, and McKay and Kerno pretty much covered up the holes a little bit. So I think they'll be definitely they'll be hoping for a little bit more out of Williams and Oliver and, even Brayshaw, I think. So,
No, that's fair. Next game was the Southern Titans up against the Deadly Dozers. This was the close game of the round. Titans got up 152.5 to the Dozers 148.5. For Ben's Titans, it was really Oliver Henry in the final game of the round, which dragged him over the line. He got 25 in a really wet game in Melbourne, so 25 at forward. Petrarca was down, getting 23 at centre. McCluggage was okay, getting 18 at midfield. Jacob Wiedering getting 19.5 at key back. Of course, he's got the ever-reliable O'Brien at ruck there. And for the Dozers, his midfield was, once again, the backbone of his team, really, when you've got Rosie, Goulden, Schizel, who got 20 at midfield. LDU getting 15 at Rover, and Jack Steele getting 14 at Tagger. Obviously, Vlaston did quite well, but I mean, a quite respectable score here from the Dozers, but it really just came down to Henry having a good game today, which, as I said, got the Titans over the line. In terms of the three votes, I gave that to Henry, and then to LDU got two, and Wiedering got one.
Another theft by the Titans, this felt like. Because the Dozers really should not have lost this game. Why you would play Max Holmes at keyback where he had three marks, and Vlastuin, who normally is your dependable, like, you know he's going to get marks if he doesn't, even if he doesn't get rebounds. And what did Vlastuin have? That 13 marks compared to Holmes's three. That's 10 points that the Dozers basically threw out the window, which cost them this game. And Henry never should have been in a position to be able to steal this one, and it did feel like he stole it today. Man, though, the Titans, I still can't quite believe they're 3-0. I bloody mind. The Wiedering, though, great call to bring him back in. I guess maybe the Titans don't have that much. Well, playing him over Wilkie at keyback too is another interesting call, but it worked out this week. There was enough. The Titans had enough, despite some poor performers. And got the win, but man, the Dozers continue to impress. They are, they may not be, dead set premiership threat kind of level, at least not until Hugel Hagen actually taps into that talent of his, but they're in the mix, and I think they might be, you know, could be finals bound this year, at least if they, you know, once the Titans' luck runs out.
Yep, yep. Next game, and the final game, was the TAS versus the Chargers. The Chargers got up here, and as you put it, Steve, if I did not win this game against the TAS, I am never going to win a game for the year, because the TAS had so many players out with the bye. But anyway, I had to put the score on the board, and I did. 150 to 137.5. For the Chargers, Kyle Langford getting 26 at key forward was pretty good. Mason Redmond getting 19 at midfield. Jack Viney getting 16 at tagger. Duggan moving into the back line, getting 14.5 at key back. For the Adulterers, Tom Hawkins turning back the clock, getting 29 at key forward. Matt Crouch getting 28 at centre. Jaden Short getting 17 at mid. But Tom Stewart was obviously the outstanding one here for the Natas, getting 21.5 at key back. For the votes, I gave 3 to Langford, 2 to Stewart, and 1 to Viney.
Well, I mean, like you said, man, I mean, I know we have examined at length how bad Natas's availability was this week. But they still put up a score that would have beaten the Scorpions and the Wild Cards. So you did have to put up a, you know, solid score, and you delivered. So the Chargers are right in the mix now. And, you know, and for all your bemoaning of your holes, you've still got 150 this week, mate.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be too hard on yourself. Natas, obviously, for all of their missing players this week, I mean, and they will obviously have a lot back next week, and I'm sure they'll play a lot better. They still are, I'd say that, you know, they should be around the middle, along with the Chargers, the Dozers, probably the Titans, in that middle bracket. But, yeah, they're going to need a little bit more, a few more things to go their way. Unfortunately for them, Tom Hawkins is 350, where they're always going to kick to him a bunch, came in a week when his 29 really didn't count for much. But, yeah, all power to you, man. Great win. And Natas, I'm sure, will bounce back. They can't get too much worse in terms of availability. So,
No. As you said, with everyone back this week, it'll be interesting to see how they look. All right, now let's have a look at the ladder. We've still got a couple of people, as you mentioned before, Steve, we've still got a couple of teams which are 3-0. So we've got the Bucks on top, they're 3-0. Then we have the Titans, 3-0. Wildcards, 2-1. Chargers in fourth on 2-1. Heroes in fifth on 1-2. Then we have the Dozers, Natas, Scorpions, and Blue Flames all on 1-2. Obviously, it's the back that separates them. And we have the Dingoes currently on 0-3.
Yeah, as I've said to some people, I don't think I'm this bad.
No.
But I guess my points four is better than the three teams in front of me. So if I could just actually get a win, I might actually jump up the table a bit here. But it's a long road back. Last year, everything seemed to go for me, and I was, you know, right around the pointy end of the table almost the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
This year is going to be more like the long. I'm going to need that back nine.
Yep. Alrighty, let's jump across and have a look at the Super League. First game was the Flushing Phoenixes up against the Major Warriors. Low scoring game here, but the Phoenixes came out on top, 130.5 to the Major Warriors at 110. Warple was outstanding for the Phoenixes, getting 35 at centre. Tom Atkins getting 16 at tag. It was also pretty damn good. And O'Reilly, the ever reliable, lock him in for at least over 15 every single week, 16.5. For the Major Warriors, Adam Treloar getting 35 at centre, turning the clock back a little bit in being played at centre. Max Gawn getting 25 at ruck. And that's pretty much it. for the Commissioner votes, thanks again to Dave, who's already done the Commissioner votes for these teams. It is Warple with 3, Max Gawn with 2, and Atkins with 1.
Yeah, this was a close. This game was so ugly. It was, man, I was like, obviously I was watching all week because Elise is was pretty excited about potentially being above 500, probably for the first time in her entire life as a manager. Wow, like it just seemed like every time a player played, they played below average and the scores just went down. It was just amazing. I was like, what the heck is going on? And then obviously Warple and Atkins turned up, and it was very close until Warple and Atkins turned up today and went boom, and the Phoenixes flew past the Warriors, if you ever hear me complaining about my forward line, just, you know, I should just think of the major Warriors and be thankful for what I have. The Warriors, it's actually kind of sad that, you know, they can have two players like Gorn and Treloar turn up and score what they did, which is a combined 60 points, and have the two of them score more than half their team's score.
Yeah.
Just those two. That's how bad things are for the Warriors. The Phoenixes, they're probably not that good a team, but they got the win, which is probably, you know, Elise's older brothers, not happy with Elise that she got the win this week, given, I think, pretty sure they scored, well, almost as good as her.
Yeah.
Well, as we're about to see in the next game.
Yeah. as you said, with the Warriors have got Van Ruin 2 and Dersmar getting 0, that certainly does not help their cause. The next game was the Thylacines up against Nexus. Nexus put up an absolute belter here, but Thylacines certainly can't... should not hold their head down in shame in any way, shape or form. 189-162. Nexus, as I said, way too strong. Cameron 20 at key forward. Tom Hawkins 25 at forward. Lockie Neal 35 at centre. Matt Crouch 21 at rover. Luke Ryan 26.5 at key back. For the Thylacines, once again, still very, very serviceable, but Todd Marshall and Charlie Dixon wasn't exactly threatening when it comes up against Cameron and Hawkins, but the rest of the team of Dacos, Gordon, Martin, Cripps, Yeo, McInerney, all did very, very well. In terms of the commissioner votes, Dave gave 3 to Luke Ryan, 2 to Nick Martin, and 1 to Crouch.
Yeah, it's another story of, Nexus doing awesome, but again, the all Geelong forward line against Hawthorn certainly was a better matchup than the all Port Adelaide forward line against Melbourne. Unfortunately for the Thylacines, last week they had Ugelhagen and Wright in there, and they pulled the lever and went all Port Adelaide, and, you know, and ultimately Dixon did better than Ugelhagen, so it was the right call for the Thylacines, no joy. The Thylacines continue to put up massive scores and lose, so they're certainly not that bad. But man, Nexus is—they're playing very well. Congrats to Nexus, looking like, well, I think the Thylacines can only hope that they work out their forward issues by the time they hit August, because Nexus. Or maybe they're just hoping they're going to run into Nexus when Geelong's playing an actual decent defense sometime. We'll see.
We'll see. The next game was the Sons of God up against the Marvels. The Sons of God got up here at 145 to the Macedonian Marvels at 136. Sons of God, Charlie Curnow getting 30 at key forward was pretty damn good. And then you got McCluggage getting 18 at midfield. Tom Stewart getting 21.5 at key back. For the Macedonian Marbles, Logan McDonald filling those shoes of Buddy quite well, getting 21 at key forward. Eric Hipwood, Donut at forward, certainly didn't help the cause. Even just a couple of goals would have got him over the line here. Harry Shizzle moved to centre, getting 32. The rest of the team is obviously below par. Jordan Dawson doing okay at 19 at midfield. But a couple of questions I think here for the Marvels and a couple of gaps, particularly down back. I know Brody Smith is not someone we can rely on because I have him in my team as a backman. In terms of the commissioner vote, Steve, Charlie Curnow 3, Tom Stewart 2, and Jordan Dawson got 1.
So Sons of God worked out this whole bye thing. That was good. And they got a win. Although beating the Marvels is probably, you know, by single figures, not that impressive. But hey, it's a win, and that's probably what the Sons of God just really needed at the moment was a win. And the Marvels, normally by now, the Marvels have pulled some rabbit out of a hat and have got a win, even if it was against a really good opponent. So Yeah, I think they'll be feeling it a little bit here, Dave. I think they'll be pretty keen to get a win on the board. I don't know who they're up against next week, but they would be getting more and more dangerous. I'd be very worried with the Marvels coming at me. I don't know who cops them next week, but whereas the Sons of God, well, the wheels are turning now, so you have to be to see how they go in terms of clawing their way back into that top five.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, we'll see who they're playing next week fairly shortly. Our next game was the Brawlers up against the Farmtons. We were talking about the Farmtons earlier on, Steve, about they're going to have some issues. Not this week. 175 against the ever rebuild team of the Brawlers. 135.5. I'm sorry if you can hear a couple of binging. My computer decided to reinstall Brave. Brave is it? Brave is a browser for anyone who would like to know what the heck Brave is.
Oh, it's not the Disney movie.
Sorry, no, it's not the Disney movie. No, it's a browser. It's like Chrome. Farmtons, Harry McKay 41 at key forward. Jai Amos getting 14 at forward. Obviously, Jai Simpkins getting 14 at centre. I think he got injured, so that certainly didn't help his cause. James Rowbottom, 26 at tagger. Jeremy McGovern getting a lazy 18.5 at key back was outstanding. For the Brawlers, Nick Larkey getting 23, we've touched on before. Caleb Sarong getting 28 at centre. Isaac Heaney, great pickup, getting 19 at midfield. Other than that, the Brawlers obviously down across the board. Jack Steele doing okay, getting 14 at tagger, though. In terms of the commissioner votes, Harry McKay got 3, Rowbottom got 2, and McGovern got 1.
Yeah, so strange again, Tom Lynch not in the lineup. So maybe the whole Tom Lynch thing is really overblown here, mate. Didn't even not getting a game for the Farmtons or the Blue Flames at the moment. So yeah, the Farmtons had a weird one. Put up 175 with your centre scoring 14, your rover scoring 8. That's that means your rest of your team was like damn good, and McKay and Rowbottom were damn good, and as some of the other ones you mentioned there. So man, the Farmtons are looking, man, I can't remember the last time the Farmtons looked this good. And the Brawlers, I mean, I know their score was pretty terrible. It's just their back line and their ruck are just, it's just not like, and yeah, Bruce at forward is like, I don't, what decade is it? I don't know. That's not right. So the Brawlers need to work on their forward line. I mean, but Larky's awesome, but Bruce, no. And then that back line. Yeah, Luke McDonald, no, Bill. No, that's gone. That ship sailed. Put Burton back there or something like he'd be a better option. And switch Noble into the midfield. Anyway, I don't need to give Bill advice. Farmtons looking great, Bill. No. some reorganizing. Yep.
Yeah. Next game was, and the final game for the round was the Mighty Atoms up against the Ashy Convicts. Close game here once again, but the Convicts were too strong. 134.5 to the Atoms, 126. Convicts, their forward line, I know you touched on this, I think last week or the week before, Steve, was just not firing for them. Taylor Walker, Mitch Lewis combining, getting 10. But for the rest of the team, it's not too bad. You've got Zach Merritt, you've got Mason Redmond, obviously coming back into the team after suspension. James Sicily, a key back. Tim English isn't too bad. Josh Dunkley, a tagger. And Zach Butters is obviously outstanding this week. You got 16 at Rover. For the Atoms, Bluston, as you touched on before, for the Dozers, I think it was, but got 25 at key back. Jack Sinclair, nearly said Jess again. My goodness. Jack Sinclair getting 30 at centre. And that's really it. Good to have Darcy Parrish, I suppose, back into the Rover spot. Only getting 14, though. For the commissioner votes, Vlaston got 3, Redmond got 2, and Sicily got 1.
Yeah, the Adams were just dark about this. Obviously, they're top of the ladder, and they were ready for this big challenge, and the Convicts put up 134.5. That should have been a walk in the park for the Adams. Unfortunately, obviously, Max King got suspended. Took Miller and Noah Anderson were out on the bye, and suddenly the Adams were scrambling, and they went with all the wrong options. Like, Waitering was back. They could have played Waitering instead of Eamon. That would have won them the game. They were sitting there trying to work out, do we play Rochelle? Do we play Amadi? We go Rochelle. Amadi's the one who kicks two goals. That would have won them the game. So many ways the Adams should be on the winners list this week. And yet, man, I don't know. The ladies, convicts, Phoenixes seem to find ways to win. Adams trip over themselves. Hard lessons to learn. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm really liking Amadi.
Oh yeah, I mean, like I think I said to even in the when we were drafting, like I was really happy the Adams got him. Mm. Rochelle had been kicking more goals overall than Amadi though, and so I think that just, you know, Tyler's a stats man. He looked at the stats and said Amadi, Rochelle's doing better. I'm like, okay. In my head, I was thinking, oh, I don't like small forwards. I'd rather go for a key forward that seems more reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know how it goes. You play Amadi, Rochelle kicks a bag,
yep.
You kick yourself. I don't know. Forwards suck. As I'm sure the convicts would concur.
Yeah. Forwards suck. Yeah. Yeah. Especially the ones that aren't consistent as anyway. In terms of the ladder, Steve, things are starting to look a little bit similar to how things are in the original league. We've got two teams sitting on 3-0. We've got Nexus on 3-0. We've got the Phantoms on 3-0. Then we have the Adams on 2-1, Convicts 2-1, Phoenix is 2-1. That's the top five. Then we have in sixth the Thylacines, the Sons of God, and the Major Warriors in eighth. They're all on 1-2. Then we have the Brawlers on 0-3 and the Marvels on 0-3. What are you most surprised about with these, but maybe both ladders? Is it the fact that who is on 3-0? Is that what surprises you the most, or the fact that we've got two teams in both leagues on 3-0?
No, I'm not surprised by the number of teams. I'm surprised the Phantoms are 3-0, not because I didn't think highly of them. It's just been so long since they've been 3-0. I'm continually stunned every week by the Titans' ability to win games that they don't look like they deserve to, which is completely different to the Phantoms. Like the Phantoms, I'm like, oh, man, they definitely deserve to win. And then the Titans, I'm like, no, they just, no. But then I'm sure Ben will say the same. There's no way the Titans are as good as the Sons of God. You know, the Sons of God are 1-2, and they're not doing that great. And it's the Titans are 3-0. That's just Ben himself, if he's honest and looks himself in the mirror, will be like, it should be the other way around, at least. I mean, no, probably shouldn't be the other way around, because that would suggest that the Titans should have won a game. They probably shouldn't have. They should be 0-3, but somehow they're 3-0. It's weird. But yeah, it does feel like the Warriors, the Brawlers, and the Marvels are like, yeah, not good. I'm sure the Sons of God are turning it around. I'm not necessarily convinced in the ladies, the Convicts and the Phoenixes, who are, you know, fourth and fifth at the moment. I don't think this, like, the Thylacines are coming for them, because they're obviously, the Thylacines have put up some crazy good scores, and yet they haven't had much luck. So the Convicts and the Phoenixes, can they continue to hold on there with their low scoring? I think the Thylacines and the Sons of God are going to ultimately take the Convicts and the Phoenixes spot. That's my early prediction in the Super League. And then the original league, I've already made my call, like Heroes, Wildcards, and Bucks are obviously the top three. And then I have absolutely no idea about fourth and fifth. Could be any of the Dozers, Chargers, Natas. I guess the Titans, I guess, if they keep winning, I guess that's what this game is about. If you win, you're good, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't want to think about the Titans anymore.
All right. Now, before we jump over to some other things, we had, as my browser has restarted itself, thank you very much, Brave. All right, I'm back. Is the AFR Cup? We had some AFR Cup. Now, we did go through some of what the results and stuff would look like. I won't go through the results, but the round of 16 is going to look like this. We had the Mighty Bucks. They're going to be playing the Chargers because they defeated the Marvels. Then we've got the Titans versus the Sons of God. The Wildcards up against the Flashing Phoenixes. Then we have the Scorpions, who defeated the Warriors this week up against Nexus. That is the top half of that draw, Steve. Who do you think would be favourite to go through? I'm going to go all the way through to the grand final. Who's your pick for the grand final on this top half?
Well, you've got Nexus and the Bucks, who are just both ripping it up at the moment, and they are the clear top seeds, I'd say. In that group, I would lean slightly towards the Bucks at the moment, just because they're not quite so reliant on the all Geelong forward line that Nexus is, which always, you know, I mean, when it works, and Geelong's playing well at the moment, but yep. I'm pretty sure Geelong's had a pretty easy run so far, and that makes you look real good when you've got a good all Geelong forward line. But
yeah, true.
I'm not convinced that's going to continue for Geelong. We'll see. I guess I don't think anyone is going to provide much resistance to those two, though, on the way to the semis.
And the bottom half of the draw, we've got the Heroes, and they'll be playing the Blue Flames because they defeated the Brawlers this week. Then we have Natas up against the Adams, the Dingoes up against the Thylacines. Then we've got the Farmtons, because they defeated the Dozers this week, up against the Ashy Convicts. And who do you think is going to be playing them in the grand final?
I'm going to be controversial here and say the my boys, the Adams and the Thylacines. Like, this looks like a sort of weaker half of the draw, personally. Particularly with the Heroes are good, and the Phantoms are playing excellent at the moment. I just feel like the Adams and the Thylacines have been also playing very well, and I don't see why they can't. I think it would be a controversial semi-final if my boys were playing each other. That would be have to batten down the hatches here in Queensland if that's how it plays out. But hopefully maybe the Phantoms or the Heroes could step in and make for a bit of an easier domestic site for me here. But those are the four teams you'd think at the moment, anyway, on form.
No, that's fair. That is very fair. All right, let's jump across, have a look at who's playing who this week, mate. Let's start with the Super League. We have the Flashing Phoenixes up against Bill's Brawlers.
Wow. Man, the brothers in the household here are already a little bit miffed that the Phoenixes are 2-1 and actually doing good, particularly Zach, who's 1-2, despite being, you know, borderline one of the top scoring teams. So, and this, well, if the Brawlers are really serious about their rebuild, they'll let the Phoenixes win this week. The trick will be
let them win.
I'm gonna pick the Phoenixes to win this one, chiefly because they've got the all Brisbane forward line finally up against, you know, North Melbourne, which you'd think should mean Danaher and Charlie Cameron might finally get some form going, and Brisbane might actually get a win, and it'll certainly be a huge boost to the Phoenixes forward line, to the score overall, if their Brisbane forward line can cash in. So yep. You think that this will be the week to do it. So believe it or not, we could have a 3-1 Phoenix lineup, which would be kind of nuts.
Wow. Yep. Against the Brawlers, you've got to tip the Phoenixes. Thylacines up against the Adams, so there will be blood in the house.
Yeah, this is... I've to already emotionally prepare the boys this week because they're both pretty miffed at their losses this week. They're feeling really pumped, but I'm going to back the Thylacines. I think the Thylacines are playing slightly better overall than the Adams, although they're both playing really well. I just feel like the Thylacines have had a bit of bad luck the last couple of weeks, the couple of single-figure losses. I feel like maybe and to be honest, the Thylacines always beat the Adams, like, it's kind of a thing. So, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I think the Adams have only ever once beaten the Thylacines, despite the fact that the Adams have made finals for like years in a row, whereas the Thylacines haven't won a final since, first, second year has done it. So, but somehow the Thylacines always win. So, must be a big rival thing.
Okay. I'm going to tip the Thylacines. They were too strong this week. So, I'm going to, Sons of God up against Nexus. Nexus should beat them after what we saw this week, I would have thought.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? Like, Sons of God, if they kind of need the wins now after that
horrible first fortnight, the Sons of God. I'm definitely going to pick Nexus, but I mean, the Sons of God, they will be certainly a little bit more desperate and be very keen to, you know, make a bit of a statement and say they're back. They do not want to be like giving the likes of the Flashing Phoenixes too much of a head start. So yeah, Sons of God, I mean, that's one of the teams they'll be chasing. So
yep.
But yeah, you'd think on current form, Nexus.
Yep. Yep. Where are we? Sorry. Ashy Convicts versus the Marvels is the next one. I'm going to tip the Marvels to bounce back.
Yeah, the Convicts have been very lucky the last 2 weeks. They beat the Thylacines by half a point, and then they, despite not having any forward line, they managed to creep over a mismanaged Adams lineup that was by hit. So I think the Convicts have been having a few things go their way. I think the Marvels, I don't know, I feel like the Marvels are ready for a win. They're not, I mean, they're not that bad, the Marvels, that they should be like 0-4, but and I'm not sure the Convicts are that good that they should be 3-1. So yeah, I think I reckon the Marvels might be able to do it as well.
Yep, that's my tip. Cool. And the last one, Major Warriors versus the Phantoms. Now, although we've said that the Major Warriors are going to have some issues, the Phantoms, sorry, are going to have some issues with their forward, one of their forwards gone. I don't think that they're going to have any issues with the Warriors.
Has there ever been a triple figure victory? This could be it.
Ouch. You reckon it's going to be that bad?
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Wow. Okay, so you're tipping the Phantoms as well, I take it by that. All right, let's jump across. All right, the original league. We have the Mighty Bucks up against the Titans. This will be a titanic battle.
The 2-3-0 teams.
The Bucks will win this one.
Yeah, if the Titans win this one against the Bucks, then we know that, I don't know, the Titans are up to some sort of voodoo sorry or something, because the Bucks should put the Titans in their place.
Yep. Then we have the Wild Cards versus Natas. Natas should be better this week, and I think they might do the Wild Cards.
Nah. I think the Wild Cards will. I think after last week's debacle from the Wild Cards, they will bounce back in a big way, and they'll win.
Then we have the Heroes up against the Blue Flames.
Now, this will be interesting. I'll pick the Heroes, but I'm like, this will be an interesting test for that, because the Heroes have been the team that, you know, that yes, they finally got a win on the board this week over the luckless Dingoes to get to 1-2. I've been talking up the Heroes like they're like, you know, clear top three team, but man, the Blue Flames could really throw a spanner in the works if they pop up with a win here. I think the Heroes should win, but I'm like, it's a danger game against the Blue Flames.
It is. Heroes for me. Chargers versus Dingoes.
Mate. Well, I really should just get out of your way. You know, you are the runaway train.
What draft pick are you wanting?
Most improved team in the original league by far.
Oh, Jesus.
Roaring up the ladder.
I don't think you'll be on the bottom of the ladder after this week.
And you'll recall Jeff Hogan, and he will just destroy my forwardless lineup. No, Chargers.
Chargers? Yeah, I don't think so. I always tip me. Nope. Always hit me, but I don't think so. Without a center and without a back line, I think you're gonna do me. Alrighty. Then we've got the Scorpions up against the Dozers. I'm gonna tip the Dozers on this one. As you've called them a premiership flag favorite. You didn't exactly call it say that. I'm putting words into your mouth. But the Scorpions are an up and down team, but I think the Dozers are gonna be too strong this week.
Yeah, you might have overshot there a little bit. I'm saying they might make it'd be good if they could actually just squeak into that elimination final. They've done really well if they can pull that off after the last couple of years. The Dozers, they really blew that Titans game, sadly, and put Vlasto into key back Baker, and you'll cruise, hopefully, over the old Scorpions. It's probably about 10 years ago these guys were playing in a grand final against each other. It was, you know, when they both were, you know, still titleless, but yeah, good times. Now, Dozers this week.
Dozers this week for you as well?
Yeah.
Cool. All righty. Now, of course, obviously, we're recording this on Monday night. I think the game start, there is a game on Wednesday night.
So seriously?
I'm pretty sure there is.
No.
Is there not?
No.
You sure?
Yep. Thursday.
Is it Thursday? Is it? What am I thinking of a Wednesday? Anzac Day? Maybe I'm thinking of English Premier League or something. I don't know.
Wednesday, Anzac Day Eve is when we'll actually, that's round seven. That's
okay.
That's going to be a real kicker, but at least they don't come off a Monday.
That's true. Thursday the 4th, Adelaide versus Melbourne. All right, cool. So everyone's got a little bit more time to get their teams and stuff in with a quick turnaround. So don't forget to do that. I hate Thursday night games, particularly when you've got players still playing, although a Sunday's not as bad as a Monday. I know Cam was talking about when's the Monday teams coming out, and we're like, oh, mate, I don't work at the AFL. I have no idea when the teams are coming out. But anyway. All right, everyone. We will be back next week. Everyone have a fantastic weekend. Oh, fantastic week, sorry. And we will chat to you all very, very soon as the cat is rubbing up against my leg. Beautiful. All right, everyone, have a fan. Your cat was meant to be the one that you're worried about, mate, not the one, not our one. Steve, thank you very much, as per always. Everyone, have a fantastic one. We'll be back. Now the cat is biting my toe. What are you doing? See you, everyone.
Bye.